find an authorized version of the Word of God before you in the pew, pick it up. We're turning to the book of Psalms, and we're reading the Psalm 121 and the Psalm 123. Psalm 121, page 646 in the Bible in the pew. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my strength, my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time even for evermore. Psalm 123. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the pride, the proud. Ending our lesson there, and God will stamp this reading from his very own infallible book with his own blessing and help. Amen and amen. Two verses. Psalm 121, verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. Psalm 123, verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden towards the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy on us. In the books of the Bible, we're not long until we come in the Old Testament to the Psalm book or the Psalter. And we discover there a little Bible within the Bible. But when we open the Psalter, we discover a little Psalter within the Psalm book. 15 Psalms. Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. Tonight I want to turn to the miniature Psalter. We have here a great miracle. We have 15 Psalms called the Psalms of Degrees. They're tucked away after a big long Psalm, Psalm 119. There are 22 parts to that psalm, because that psalm is an alphabetical part, an alphabetical psalm. That is, all of those 22 parts are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, 22 parts, to the Psalm 119. And then after that, there comes the songs of degrees. Now, this is a very interesting thing, the song of the degrees. Because we want to ask, what are the degrees? And we find in the Bible, there's only once that any mention is made of degrees, and that was on the sundial of Ahaz, by which the shadow of the sun went backward in the days of his son Hezekiah, as a sign from Jehovah that he would recover from his sickness. At that time, Jerusalem was surrounded with the armies of the enemies of God's people. The king of Assyria, Hezekiah, was under the sentence of death from the king of terrors. He was told he was not going to live. He was going to die. And then suddenly, God stepped in. Hezekiah recovered of his sickness. The enemy was slain, and the land was delivered, and Hezekiah prospered mightily. God is the God that turns the tide, and God is the God who can give great deliverance. When he recovered from his sickness, Hezekiah said, you read it in Psalm, in Isaiah 38, verse 20. He said, the Lord was ready to save him. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of Jehovah. These were the songs of the degrees. More than 400 years ago, this interpretation was suggested by a great scholar, Dr. John Lightfoot. And in more recent years, another great Hebrew scholar, Dr. Thurl, took up that and examined it very, very carefully indeed, and found it was exactly as the old student had said many, many years ago. The songs of Hezekiah are the songs of the degrees. But among those songs, there is one by Solomon, which takes the center of the Psalms. And there is two by King David on either side of Solomon's song. So each of the seven psalms on either side of the central psalm, the name Jehovah keeps recurring and reoccurring. Jehovah, the Lord, the Savior, the covenant God of Israel. Each group in these psalms, of five each, have three common themes. They have trust in Jehovah. They have distress for the people of God. And there's blessing and peace in Zion. Now, when we were at family prayer at home, and when we were praying in church on the Lord's Day, we were always exhorted to shut our eyes tightly and not to open them. And if you were seen in the Sabbath school that I went to open your eyes on the Lord's Day at the time of prayer, you heard about it. And you were told that was an awful thing to do. When we speak of physical posture in prayer, it may be so. Although to find proofs that everybody of the Scripture shut their eyes tight when they prayed, you'd have some bother to do that. Just start at Genesis, start reading, and you'll find what a problem you'll have. However, when we come to spiritual posture, God's commands are clear. When we come to pray, we're not to close the eyes of our soul. We're to open them, and we're to look up. As we read in Psalm 120, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my strength. And then when we come to Psalm 123, we find that the man who prays lifts up his eyes to God. His eye is on the hand of God for blessing. We learn that God is always wakeful, and we, as a result, should be always watchful. Would you keep those two words in mind? God is always wakeful. He does not slumber nor sleep. You and I ought to be watchful. We should have our eyes open, watching for God. It is interesting to notice that on behalf of God and on behalf of His people, both of these texts start with an exhortation to behold. God is said to behold, and the people of God, the waiters, are said to behold. If you will study the Bible, you'll discover that every great cardinal doctrine of Scripture has a proof text that begins with the word behold. For example, what about total depravity of the fallen soul? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51:5. What about the virgin birth of Christ? Behold, a virgin shall bear a son. Isaiah 7:14. What about the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ? Behold your God. Isaiah 40:9. What about service for Christ? Behold your King, Matthew 21:5. What about the atonement of Christ? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What about the coming of Christ? Behold, I come quickly, Revelation 22:7. And so I could go on and on. There's not a doctrine of Scripture that hasn't got a proof text beginning with the word behold. We are told to be watchful. What a tragedy when the church goes to sleep. God is always wakeful, but the children of God are not always watchful. God tells us He's always wakeful. His eyes do not close. Sleep never overcomes the sovereign, omnipotent deity. God's people should also be clear and quick with unwearying spiritual eyesight. Let's look a moment about the truth of a wakeful God. God is wakeful, for only a wakeful shepherd can look after the flock. And of God, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd, if God, our good shepherd, was not wakeful, where would we be tonight? But God is wakeful and looks after his flock. When you go home, look at the interesting conversation that we find between the Lord Jesus and Peter. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 31 to 34. And it says, concerning the devil's plan for Peter. For he said to Peter, the Lord said to Peter, but I have prayed for thee. I have seen the devil's plan. I have looked into the devil's mind. And before he mentioned to one of his demons or laid the pit to cast you into Peter, I have already taken steps to stop him. Why? Because the Lord looks after his flock. And what a terrible thing Peter did. He denied his Lord with oaths and cursing. But before he had ever denied the Lord, the Lord had changed the circumstances. The Lord had destroyed the devil's plan. If the devil had have had his way, Peter would have been like Judas Iscariot. He would have committed suicide. But he didn't. Why? Because the Lord Jesus prayed for him. The Lord Jesus was wakeful to his need. And I could say to you, sinner friend, even though tonight finds you on the broad road to hell, the Lord Jesus is preserving you tonight. What for? That you might come and trust him. Preserve me when my feet made haste to hell. And there I would have gone, but thou hast done all things well. Thy love was great. Thy blood was free that from hell's pit delivered me. He preserved us on the road to hell. Why? Because he's a wakeful shepherd. Only the wakeful guardian can successfully defend the treasury of God. God's children are his jewels. God keeps his own jewels. They are eternally preserved by the Master's hand. The saints are the jewels of Christ. They are his special treasures. He keepeth them all. One day he shall count them out by name, and each chosen saint will witness this final achievement. No one down here can really tell the value of their soul, which Christ purchased. His crown jewels that he purchased for the great eternal heaven of heavens above. And Christ will keep his people. He slumbers not. His eye dwells unwearyingly upon his elect. Christ, for the briefest moment, never takes his eyes of his people. God has made an uncomfortable hedge about his people. It was said of Job that he made a hedge around him to defend him from the devil. Christ does exactly that. Not only with Job, not only with some of his people, but of all his people. Around a saint who feared his name, with whom the devil strove, Jehovah fixed a wall of flame and hedged him up with love. 'Twas fixed by God, and o'er the break no fiend of hell could flee. 'Twas deep as the infernal lake, and high as God's decree. From everlasting love's embrace, nor hell nor sin could tear, for God hath hedged him round with grace, and deep his counsels are. Fruitless and vain his efforts prove. He's here, he here no mind could spring. His darts by God were dipped in love and blunted on the wing. Like him our refuge is the same. In safety we abide, with walls of everlasting flame hedged round on every side. Hedged in by God's tremendous name, believer, cease thy fears. 10,000 chariots all aflame, the God for thee provides. Not more secure that favored few who o'er the deluge rode, for what shall ever injure you? You're hedged about with God. At every time, in every place, in safeguard thou shalt be, for God hath fixed a wall of grace 'twixt thy foes and thee. The watchful eyes of God are upon his jewels. The watchful eyes, the wakeful eyes of God are upon his jewels. But what about the saints of God? Let us remember that Christ gave us the watchful eyes we have. How were you saved? You had an eye-opening experience. Do you remember it? You do, of course. You'll never forget it. Before that experience of the new birth, you lived in darkness and in the shadow of death. And then one day God spoke, and he said, "Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." Jesus made us free. We not only beheld Christ with the watchful eye of gratitude, but we behold Christ with the watchful eye of reverence. In the east, as the psalmist tells us here, we have the servants with their eyes open, the male servant watching his master's hand, and the female maiden watching her mistress' hand. Because it is the hand of the master and the mistress that is all important. We need tonight to get our eyes, our watchful eyes, our awaking eyes, we need to get them on the master and look at his hand. Because in his hand he has written our very names. My name's from the palms of his hand. Eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. And if he has our names upon his hand, then we can take courage from that beautiful text. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my Father's hand. For my Father is greater than I. O child of God, tonight, don't you, O God, a watchful eye for all his blessings, for all his benefits, and for all his amazing presence that he has safeguarded you with from the day you were converted until this very day. And he will keep us till the river rolls its water at our feet, then he'll bear us safely over where the loved ones we shall meet. We live in an evil day. And if I know anything about the prophetic scriptures, and I believe I know a little with constant reading, I know the days will get worse instead of better. I know the darkness will deepen. I know the temptations will become more fierce. I know that all around us we'll have disappointments, we'll have distresses. I hear from across the world the fall of eminent saints, men who worked and did wonders for God, and now they have fallen in the heat of the battle, some of them overcome by mere human weakness, others overcome by the terrible temptations and deceptions of the devil. We should take heed lest we fall. And the only thing that will keep us is the fact that we are wide awake, that we have a watchful eye upon the hand of God. So when you get up in the morning, put yourself by faith under the wakeful eye of God. And ask God to give you that power that will make you a watchful Christian. For Jesus said to his apostles, "What I have said unto you, I say to you all, watch." And ever God's people should be watching. It is today. How subtle is the devil? How powerful are his machinations? How evil his thoughts? How terrible his plans? How infernal his power? And how damning is the devil when he conquers a child of God. But we do not need to walk around in fear. We do not need to walk around with a cloud over our heads. We can walk around in the full orb liberty of the children of God, because we have a God who never slumbers nor sleeps. We have a God who's looking after us. We have a God who is keeping us. I believe that when we get to heaven, much of heaven's praises will be on our lips when God reveals to us the way that he led us, the path by which he brought us, and the protection that he gave to us. God is on the throne. And sometimes God brings his people right down to the shadow of death. And yet by his great mercy, he does that delivering work. Why? Because he's a watchful God. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. I trust that every child of God will this new year come into the enjoyment of the protecting hand of God. And remember each morning, you have an awakened Lord, a God who does not go to sleep. He's always awake, ready to help you. And I trust that every one of us will be watching. Watching the Lord. Looking for him. And when we meet him in prayer, seeking to do his blessed and lovely will. Now what about you, dear sinner friend? You have no faith in God. You walk the dark path. You are a child of the devil and a child of wrath. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience works in you. I tremble for you, friend. Outside God's love, outside God's peace, outside God's pardon, outside God's family. But thank God you can come into the family of God tonight. The invitation is to you to come and meet with the Savior who is always awake. The invitation is to you to go and watch at the cross. And as you see that great sacrifice uplifted, as you see the sin-bearing Lamb of God taking your place and dying for you, thank God tonight you too can come into the blessing and the joy and the thrill of these great promises of God. Jesus loves you. The Father is calling you. The Spirit is urging you. Come tonight and settle the question of your soul's eternal welfare. And as that man said to me today, when you are brought by the dark way, you recognize how very unimportant the things are that you thought were all important. The most important thing is this: is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Would you ask yourself that honestly and deeply in your heart now? No, it's not well, preacher. I'm not saved. I'm on the broad road. I've rejected Christ over and over again. I've made choice of sin and the way of the world and the way of the company of the world. It's not well with me. Well, I'm glad, friend, that God has brought you to acknowledge that. Now what you need to do is take God's way. Don't go any other way. Take God's way. And God's way has come as a sinner. Don't wait to make yourself better. Don't say, I'll do this, that, and the other thing. That'll take you to hell. That's a gospel of devilish and damning works. You just come as a sinner. And you just say, I am coming, Lord, coming now to Thee. Wash me. Cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. And I can tell you with the authority of a God that cannot lie behind me, him that cometh unto Jesus, he will in no wise cast out. Come, my friend, and welcome in Christ tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our God and Father, we pray that Thou wouldst bless Thy holy word to our hearts, and grant that no sinner may leave this meeting unsaved, no backslider going away in the darkness of a backslidden state, no Christian going away carrying a burden that they don't need to carry. We thank Thee that Thou art the wakeful God, and we pray that You'll make us a watchful people. For Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.